Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of August, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. As we close out the half hour, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way today, we'll hear from Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services. He'll help us look at the ag energy markets, and the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota will be along with their weekly updates of crop progress. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, futures in Chicago at the CME Group on this 13th day of August settled the day mixed. Nearby corn futures were down, soybeans were mixed, and wheat futures finished the day lower. September contract there for the soft red at 6.28 and a quarter, down 6 3/4. The hard red in Kansas City at $6.96 and a quarter for the September, down 4 cents. In the pit for corn in Chicago at 4.55 and a quarter for the September, that contract settled 16 3/4 cents lower. December at 4.47 and a quarter, down 16 3/4, and the March corn at 4.60 3/4, 16.5 cents lower. May at 4.69, down 16.5, and July at $4.75 1/4, down 16 for the day. August soybeans at 13.59 3/4, 14 cents lower. September up a penny and a quarter, 12.57 3/4. November soybeans, $12.27 3/4, 2.5 higher. In January futures, 12.32 1/2, up 2.5 cents. The March contract at 12.33 1/4 cents higher. July futures down 4 at $12.31. Bean meal at 4.29.90, down, or rather up $1.20 at the end of the day. They're actually at 4.26.90. That's up 1.20. And the bean oil at 42.58, 26 cents higher. Live cattle futures at 123.77 1/2, up 17.5. In the August, October at 128.10, 70 cents higher. August feeders at 153.72 1/2, up 22.5. And September futures, 60 cents higher at $157.60. Lean hogs at $101.80, up 40 cents. In the August, October at 86.55, 35 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, $106.67 a barrel, 56 cents higher. September gasoline at the wholesale price, the RBOB, at 294.5. That's 4 tenths of a cent, rather 4 cents higher for the day. And ethanol futures at 214, a penny and 8 tenths lower. RBOB to ethanol spread now at 80.5 cents. That's up 5 9/10 of a cent, or wider than it was yesterday. And natural gas at $3.30 1/10. And that's just about 9 tenths of a cent lower for the day. Diesel fuel at $3.04 7/10 of a cent, up 2 6/10. And the gold futures at $13.60 finished lower at $1,321.30. The U.S. dollar at 81.76, and that's up 0.43 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see mostly sunny skies, a high of 75 degrees this afternoon, a north wind at 13 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 16, and then tonight, mostly clear and a low of 48 degrees, north-northwest winds at 6 to 11 miles an hour. They'll become light and variable after midnight. Winds could gust before then as high as 15 miles an hour. Wednesday, sunny skies and 76 on a north wind at 3 to 7. Wednesday night, mostly clear and 49 degrees, a north wind at 5 to 7. And Thursday, sunny skies and 76, calm winds. And Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of 54. Friday, sunny skies and 77 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear and 58. And on Saturday, sunny, a high near 80 degrees. Saturday evening, mostly clear and 61. Should be a beautiful week. So if you need to get outside and do some work, this is a good week to do it. Well, let's take one moment and we'll tell you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's a Tuesday afternoon, the 13th day of August. Time to check in with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I got to tell you, in the forecast, it keeps saying north winds, and usually that's a bad, bad sign, but that's in the middle of winter. It feels really good on days like today, I have to admit, although a little heat might be useful for the crop, I suppose.
Well, I think we're going to get some of that second half of the month if we can look at the extended forecast, Todd. So let's enjoy a beautiful day today.
Beautiful day today and this week, but we would need a little rainfall to come with that heat, and I don't know that there's any of that in the offing, or not too much, is there?
Not too much. Actually, we're a little bit short on that for what we'd like, especially in the dry areas. I know, in north central Illinois, there's some areas that are getting pretty dry and they're firing up a little bit. And, of course, Iowa a little bit on the dry side, too. So we'd like to see some rain for that area. We're pretty good for now. We'd like another nice shower to finish things off towards the end of the month. But, all in all, majority of the area is going to be in pretty good shape with the temperature staying cool.
In a few minutes, we'll hear from the crop statisticians across the Midwest. They're going to tell us the crop's in good condition now, as good as it was last week. In fact, if you delve into the numbers, it's slightly better than last week, despite the fact that good to excellent 64% category for corn this week and last week. They just swapped one percentage point out to excellent for this week. So the crop's getting better, and then futures in Chicago either reacted to that or something else. What happened there?
Well, it's sort of strange, Todd. We had the crop ratings extremely good, and yet we had poor yields yesterday when the government put their report together. But I think we saw a little bit of maybe we didn't quite believe it was as bad as what the government said attitude towards the corn. The fund sold about 9,000 contracts of corn today while they were buying 6,000 contracts of beans. So that's why we're able to hold the beans up. And, of course, the bean carryout is much tighter for this year. A lot of people aren't believing that we even have the 125 left. So it's going to be a short carry-in, actually, and that way. But, that 1.8 carryout for next year on corn is still a very big number.
Is the trade, does it not like the equality between the northern or the eastern and the western corn belt by state in terms of what the expected bushels per acre are, or what was it that it didn't like about yesterday's crop production report?
Well, I think that basically along the line, we've been watching improving crop conditions every week, and then they deteriorated a couple bushels off what they were on the last report. I think that just sort of maybe hit home. I think that, this was very, the government's numbers were very close to Michael Cordonnier's report. Is the acreage right? I mean, basically they didn't change the acreage because they didn't resurvey that and know what's going on. But there's a lot of areas where a lot of people are doing the yield counts, and they are higher than what they thought the government did say yesterday.
Yeah, so the stats can change. We can take the bushels per acre up as long as we take those a number of total acres down, but that won't happen probably until October. Certainly doesn't usually happen. That's when the FSA numbers get put in.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the reality of it all. I think that what comes out, in fact, is they might not be wrong with their end carryout. They might not be wrong with their production figure. It's going to be how many acres we apply it to. And I think the fact of the matter is that we're higher than Russian corn or higher than Argentine corn right now has more to do with it than anything, along with a good crop.
Mm-hmm. What are your expectations for soybeans?
The soybeans. Now, that's a little bit different story. We do have probably a big crop that will be planted in South America. But for right now, as I said, with what we have used, the beans we've crushed and everything, a lot of people are saying the government drew the line in the sand at that 125 and they aren't going below it. It maybe is below that number. And a lot of beans are late. There's not a lot of pods in some of the areas to count. We're probably at least 10% or more behind as far as maturity of beans for this time. So a lot of weather to live through with them, and a lot of things up in the air because we, you know, can't get a good handle on the production number for right now.
What do you think will change in September? Anything?
September, it's going to depend on if we can get some rains in that the dry areas to help podding and filling pods, I guess would be the word. And you know, then it's going to be at that point in time. Where's the frost attitude like along the way? Because there are some beans that are late enough that could be damaged quite heavily if we had an early frost.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Tuesday afternoon. A couple of things to keep in mind. Thursday of this week is Agronomy Day on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You're invited to come to the South Farms. They're just to the east and the south of the Assembly Hall, the State Farm Center there on St. Mary's Road. We'll kick things off at 7 o'clock. I'll be out and directing the rack wagons into the field. There are four tours. Your opportunity to talk with the extension professionals and researchers that have been working on your behalf at the U of I. You can come and see what they've been up to in the South Farms and the research fields there. They'll talk to you about all kinds of subjects from insects to yield and a little economics as well. The South Farms Agronomy Day is 7 a.m. to about 2. Really, we go into the noon hour. And I think, let's see, the basketball coach will be there at the noon hour, too, if you want to hear him speak. So come and visit with us. There's always a meal you can buy. Otherwise, it's free. Starts at 7 o'clock in the morning. That is on Thursday of this week. And then tomorrow, I'll be in Watsika at the First Trust and Savings Bank, actually a tent there along the main road, Route 24 in Watsika. I think it's about Route 24 and 3rd Street. And if you want to come, you can, for one of our Ag Outlook panels. Steve Freed, Jackie Vakes, and Chuck Shelby will be on hand for that one. But you need to call Jordan Herleman at First Trust and Savings Bank in Watsika if you'd like to visit with us tomorrow evening. Dinner is at 5, and we start the panel at 6.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released its weekly crop progress report. It showed 94% of the corn crop is now silking. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 95%. 32% of the crop has reached the dough stage. 48% is the rolling five-year average. And the dent stage, normally at 17% at this time of year, is just 5% at this point. When we look at the condition of the corn crop, 25% said to be in fair condition. The good and excellent categories are 46 and 18% respectively. That adds up, of course, to a total of 64% for the good to excellent category and is the same as last week. Let's take a look at the soybeans, where the blooming stage is now 88% complete nationwide. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 92%. Setting pod set at 58%. Rolling five-year average is 68%. And the condition of the crop is 27% fair and 64% good to excellent. That good to excellent category is the same as last week, although combined it's the same. 14% of the crop was in excellent condition this week compared to 13% last week. So the crop is actually in a little better condition this week than it was last. Now here are the state statisticians with their updates.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 11, 2013. Overall, most of Iowa was drier and cooler than normal during the week. Statewide, rainfall averaged just over 6-tenths of an inch, about 2/3 of the normal amount, making this the 5th week out of the last 6 with below-average rainfall. While the amount of topsoil rated in the adequate and surplus categories was unchanged from last week at 41%, the amount of subsoil in the same categories declined 7 percentage points from last week to 47%. Overall, the condition of corn and soybeans declined slightly from last week, with 49% of the corn and 48% of the soybean crops now rated in good to excellent condition. 94% of the corn crop is tasseled, 85% of the crop is silked, and 42% of the corn has reached the milk stage. Just 9% of the corn crop has entered the dough stage, about 2 weeks behind normal. Meanwhile, 90% of the soybean crop has begun blooming and 53% of the crop was setting pods, well behind the average of the 80% normally setting pods by August 11th. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Todd Ballard, Deputy Director with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Heartland Region, serving Illinois. Statewide temperatures averaged 72.2 degrees. However, rainfall accumulations were reported once again below normal at only 45 one-hundredths of an inch, which was down 46 one-hundredths of an inch for the seven-day period ending Sunday, August 11th. Growing degree days units since May 1 came in at 2,024, or 64 heat units behind the historic average. Corn in the dough stage was reported at 50% compared to 89% 1 year ago and 64% for the five-year average. 6% was reported in the dent stage, and this compares to 59% 1 year ago and 26% for the five-year average. The Southwest District led the state in corn dent category, reporting 32%. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated 2% very poor, 5% poor, 25% fair, 48% good, and 20% as excellent. Soybean blooming advanced to 90%, compared to 98% a year ago and 91% for the five-year average. 63% of the crop was setting pods compared to 87% last year and 67% for the five-year average. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated at 2% very poor, 5% poor, 23% fair, 54% good, and 16% excellent. One final bit of news comes from Monday's August crop production report. The average corn yield in Illinois was estimated at 165 bushels per acre, while soybeans were pegged at 47 bushels per acre. These yields will be updated again on September 12th. This has been Todd Ballard with the Heartland region of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, serving Illinois.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 11, 2013. Welcome. Precipitation in Minnesota kept soil moisture levels mostly adequate during the week. Temperatures continued trending cooler than normal with a statewide average temperature of 64.1 degrees. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels were 65 and 69% adequate to surplus, respectively. Nearly all of Minnesota's corn has reached the silking stage. Corn at the milk and beyond stage advanced 29 percentage points to reach 43%. 7% of corn had reached the dough stage, over 2 weeks behind last year and 9 days behind the five-year average. Corn conditions improved slightly to 61% good or excellent. 92% of soybean crop was at or beyond the blooming stage, compared to the normal of 95%. 58% of soybeans were setting pods, 15 days behind last year. Soybean conditions improved slightly to 63% good or excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending August 11th. Total precipitation from Monday, August 5th through Sunday, August 11th, ranged from just 3/100 of an inch at Evansville to 2.1 inches at South Bend. It was a near-ideal week for crop development with scattered rain showers and very favorable temperatures. Some preventative ground and aerial applications of fungicides and insecticides were made. However, farmers continued to scout crop fields and have reported very few disease or insect problems thus far this summer. A few localized areas are becoming a little dry where they have missed the recent rain showers, but they have not yet reached a critical point. The majority of the corn crop has tasseled and most of the acreage has went through pollination under good conditions. 33% of the corn acreage is in the dough stage compared with 81% last year and 49% for the five-year average. Condition of the corn crop is rated 77% good to excellent compared with only 9% last year at this time. 90% of the soybean acreage is blooming and 66% of the soybean acreage is setting pods compared to 78% last year and 59% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated 76% good to excellent compared with just 16% last year at this time. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services is on the phone line and from his Chicago office to help us take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Stephen. How are you today?
Good afternoon.
Hey, well, a couple of things that have been happening. Of course, crop production numbers were out yesterday, and then we've been hearing about ethanol plants that are, and it's not terribly odd at this time of the year, that are shutting down for regular maintenance and such. And then, of course, we have the price of crude oil, which moved sharply higher for a while. And let me see, it's still up above $100 a barrel at this time. What'd you make of the whole complex?
It's at 106, actually, which is far above some of the areas I thought it would attain. And I'm still not convinced that this market's going to be able to maintain these lofty levels. As you can see, some of the backwardation that we've seen in this market has come in from some of the lofty heights. By backwardation, we mean the spreads between the nearby to the back months are at premium. That reflects the tightness in Cushing, which has been apparent in the DOE report, which is released on a weekly basis and will be released tomorrow. The expectation is that crude inventories will drop as much as another 1.5 million barrels, but Cushing stocks have dropped sharply by over 10 million barrels over the past month or so, and that actually a past couple months or so, and that has certainly helped the market out in terms of giving it the impression of tightness. But from a global viewpoint, we have seen the EIA or IEA numbers, which is the International Energy Agency, come out with some new numbers on both demand and supply, and it still looks to be a rather adequate supply-demand situation that is leading to a buildup in global oil stocks. And I think that will eventually work against the market. But in the meantime, we are seeing some bottlenecks basically work out of this market and actually help support the WTI, which is a specific delivery point out of Cushing, Oklahoma, that has helped the market overall.
So what's the problem at Cushing? What happened there?
Well, what has happened is it's actually gained better access to the Gulf Coast through the addition of some pipelines. That has moved those crude supplies, which had been building up from some of the northern Canada and some of the Dakota supplies, had been building to come down rather sharply as they draw those stocks down and move them to the Gulf Coast. That has led to it being produced into gasoline and distillate, which is used for diesel. And subsequently, I think that has led to the better demand and lower prices we've actually seen for some of the products as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We do appreciate it.
My pleasure, and have a great day.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. That is Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Stay with us. We'll come back in just a bit, in 2 minutes, that is. And you can always visit our website in the meantime at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, from the opening market report to the closing market report and commodity week as well, not long after it airs on our radio stations.
It's International Left-Handers Day, where Southpaws celebrate the right to be left-handed. An 1867 A Secretary of Agriculture report listed various farm implements, including left-handed plows. The report said that left-handed plows were in common use and that some farmers insisted the left-handed version was superior because they could commence plowing in the middle of a field, turning all the furrows inward. On this day in agricultural history in 1872, Richard Willstatter was born. He won the 1915 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for his study of the structure of chlorophyll and other plant pigments. In 1902, Felix Wankel was born. A German engineer, he invented the first rotary internal combustion engine. Instead of moving pistons, the Wankel engine uses an orbiting rotor shaped as a curved equilateral triangle. The engine has fewer moving parts than its piston cousin, and it's also lighter and takes up less space. And in 1913, the first true stainless steel was cast in Sheffield, England. The steel alloy contained almost 13% chromium and 0.25% carbon. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, Don Day is not available to join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. Hey, you know, every summer the extension entomologists right here on campus dig for roots of corn, that is. I'll have more on the reasons why in a moment.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
This is a good old-fashioned root wash. It's been happening near Illinois cornfields for decades. It's not fun, or at least not very much. It's really hard work and done for a reason, says extension entomologist Mike Gray.
This annual ritual that begins to take place about mid-July is one that, as you said, has gone on for decades. It sort of gets in your bloodstream, if you will, but we look forward to that every year, believe it or not. But more importantly, we look forward to sharing that information with our stakeholders and clientele, producers, throughout not just Illinois, but the Midwest.
Well, the information collected is about the Western corn rootworm, and more importantly, how the products farmers use to control the insect are working in the field. The roots, washed and cleaned, are evaluated for damage. Those evaluations are compiled in a report called On Target.
And this is an online report where you can not only get information about the current root rating process and the results, you can also go back all the way to the early 2000s and see how different products held up year in and year out.
On Target is available for download from the University of Illinois Department of Crop Sciences. It summarizes what the root wash showed about how the products performed in different areas of the state.
Each year we put out four standard experiments that include a pretty significant variety of different BT hybrids as well as soil insecticides. In some cases, soil insecticides on top of BT hybrids. Our primary locations include DeKalb here in Urbana on the Ag Engineering Farm, over in Monmouth, northwestern Illinois, and over in western Illinois near Perry. Those are our four standard locations.
The roots, dug up and washed, provide the base from which the trial determines how well a product protected the corn plant from the western corn rootworm. The trials go to yield to determine the impact of that protection.
So we look at root ratings and yield, not just for the current growing season, but for many growing seasons. Producers hopefully will look at that information. We take great pride in putting out this unbiased, research-based information. It should give them a pretty good feel for how different products have held up and help them make some decisions as they head into the next growing season.
And that's the point of this annual University of Illinois summer event. The researchers and their staff set up the experiment, do the work, rate the roots, compile the numbers, and provide farmers with information they can use to make good decisions about how to control one of the most costly insect pests of corn.
If you'd like to learn more about the Western Corn Rootworm, you can do that this Thursday on the South Farms or the Agronomy Day event. It's scheduled to start at 7 a.m. just to the south and east of the Assembly Hall. That's the new State Farm Center right here in Urbana-Champaign. Have a great afternoon. That wraps up the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.